Final touches on the September stretch includes a strong DeKalb County performance Friday night. Livingston Academy stays perfect, as does Monterey. Cookeville and Upperman both get wins. Welcome to the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders on a Saturday morning from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's where we gather every Saturday morning, talk high school sports with local coaches and players. We'll visit with head coach Adam Kane of the Upperman Bees in just a few minutes. Also, the York Institute Dragons have joined us from Jamestown today. We'll talk some high school football with them. But first things first, let's look back to what happened across the Upper Cumberland last night, as we're already through 6 weeks of the high school football schedule. Livingston won their sixth straight game, defeating Smith County 38-13. Will McDonald, 16 of 22 for 241 yards and three touchdowns. Caleb Robinson with 118 yards rushing on the ground. Cookeville beats Coffee County 41-14. Cookeville, 33 rushes, 384 yards, and five touchdowns. B.J. Billen had an 82-yard punt return for a touchdown. Monterey goes to 6-0 with a win over Jackson County, 42-18. Jordan Key, first offensive play of the game, 69-yard touchdown run. Key finished the night accounting for five touchdowns and 268 all-purpose yards. For the Blue Devils, Eli Burris, 19 of 33 for 223 and two touchdowns. Upperman never trailed Friday night as they beat Oneida 25-6. Donovan McAllister, 15 carries, 122 and two touchdowns. DeKalb County beat Cannon County 41-10. Axel Aldino threw for a touchdown, rushed for another. Desmond Noakes, an 87-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. White County goes to Jamestown, gets 19 fourth-quarter points to beat York Institute 26-13. Cedric Lefwich, 14 of 24 for 128, two touchdowns and an INT. Jonah Durham, 6 of 19 passing for 95 yards and a touchdown. Sail Creek beats Pickett County 47-8. Mark Smith, 62 receiving yards for the Bobcats, and they fall last night to 1-5. Cumberland County falls to Walker Valley by a final of 33-16. Clay County suffers its first defeat of 2019. Westmoreland 21, the Bulldogs 12. Kingston defeats Stone Memorial 33-14. Elsewhere, it was Coalfield beating Gordonsville 38-14. Warren County 29, Siegel 28. Oakdale downs Red Boiling Springs 18-6. Trousdale County gets the win over Macon County, final 28-0. Head coach Adam Kane, after that long trip to Scott County, up with us early. And it was an interesting ball game. The score, I don't think, probably really explains what happened last night.
No, not at all. First of all, it was a long trip. Did not know what to expect. I've never played against Oneida. I do know they're one of the well-respected, you know, 2A programs in the state. So we expected a battle, and we got one for sure. You know, that was a one-score game, and you know, a turnover late kind of allowed us to extend it out to 25-6.
What was the story of the game for your offense?
You know, we had some chances, and we were able to move the ball, but they've got two good linebackers that we had trouble blocking, and they kept making big plays and kind of, you know, keeping us under, you know, under wraps there for most of the ball game. But we made some plays and got the ball in their territory and punched it in once and got a field goal, and then we're able to get one late.
How about defensively? What stood out to you about the ball game?
You know, it was a defensive slugfest. They had a really good defense, and our guys came to play and, you know, kept them to 6 points. And, you know, I was really proud of the way our defense played. You know, at times they had some big running backs and they broke some tackles. But for the most part, we kept them, you know, in check.
Let's go to the final moments of the fourth quarter. You got the ball and the game is still in question, and you put together a nice drive.
We did. You know, we got a stop, and we're able to pieced together a couple plays, and then Donovan took one down the sideline for about 40-something yards. And that extended it and gave us a little breathing room. And then, we got a big interception from Carter Shanks. And he's a sophomore that's really starting to play good ball. And he returned it for a touchdown. So for the first time all night, I got to breathe a little bit there.
The final 58 seconds, right?
Yeah.
You like seeing that when a young guy, maybe the light starts to come on, and then a play like that develops confidence?
I think it does, and he's a confident kid, and so I think this experience for him is is one of those deals where he's getting better every week, and he's really a fabulous athlete, so I'm looking for good things to come from him. And I will say this, I did tell Donovan, I wish you could have broken that run a little bit earlier so we would have. And he told me I tried, Coach. But it was a great team win, and I'm proud to be these guys' coach. And we had to display some toughness to go into that place, and the way it was, we had some fumbles. We got inside the 2-yard line and didn't get any points one time. So for us to stay tough and battle and eke out a win was huge for us.
Adam Kane is head coach of the Upperman Bees with us here at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive on a Saturday morning. To that point, do you like the opportunity to go kind of out of your element, so to speak, out of your comfort zone, play somebody that you're not used to playing, and kind of see how the guys react?
I think ultimately it makes you a better team to play really good opponents and to go on the road and in competitive environments. And so, yes, I do. But at the same time, it wears you down to get on a bus and travel 2.5 hours. But I think at the end of the day, it'll make us a battle-tested team and hopefully make us better.
Because you never know what the postseason may hold.
And, absolutely.
And having to do those kinds of things.
Yes, yeah. And it felt like a postseason game last night. Both teams were – it was a slugfest, and I give them credit, and their coach Lambert does a good job. And I think it was good for both of us to see each other like that.
I'm curious, the weather has not broken. It doesn't show any signs of breaking. Is it affecting how you're able to practice and prepare?
It does. We go later in the evening. I don't go right after school because we do some meeting and watch a lot of film and do some position meetings and lift weights, and then we hit the field. So it's a little cooler when we go, but you have to be smart about how you deal with this heat. And it's relentless, and when you got kids that play both ways and you're only playing a limited amount of guys on Friday nights, these games start stacking on top of each other. You got to find ways to, develop some depth and get some guys off the field some, but B, your studs, you got to make sure they're fresh on Friday nights.
Yeah, because you're getting the collective fatigue now of 6 games plus your August practice and
absolutely
scrimmages and all of that.
It's still football, and it's still about blocking and tackling, and you got to be in shape. So you got to make sure you still continue to do that in practice. But it does become a war of attrition, and if you're not careful, you're going to be missing some of your studs.
Finally, Adam Kane, as the calendar does turn to October, where do you feel like you are as a football team?
Everybody compares us to last year, and this is not last year's team. I feel like this team is a little more mentally tough than last year, but maybe we're missing some of the athleticism and skill people. And so it's hard to look at because you know, I feel good about where this team is, and I feel like, you know, our biggest deal is trying to get better every week. But there's that constant comparison to what happened last year, and that just creates a little bit of a, you know, I guess anxiety about are we as good or are we not? And you know, I'm learning to, you got to take it year by year, and we're not the same, but this group so far, except for that one game against Livingston, has found ways to win games. And the difference is they're all close games this year. So I think that says a lot about our mental toughness and our, you know, our mental makeup.
Isn't it interesting that no matter how many guys you have back from a team, every team has a little bit different personality and a little bit just how you win games is different, how the games turn out is different.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you miss a player here, a player there, and it's going to make a drastic difference in your team. And we kind of knew it going in, but, you know, people put a lot of expectations on you, and everybody starts wondering what the problem is when there is no problem. You're finding your own way as a group that year, and it's a really fun group to coach because they respond to any challenge I throw at them, and hopefully we can continue to get better.
It's that external noise that all coaches love, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam Kane and the Upperman Bees get the win over Oneida 25-6. Friday night. Appreciate you coming by this morning.
Thanks.
High school football is what we talk about here every Saturday morning, getting you caught up on what happened across the Upper Cumberland Friday night. This is the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. White County and York Institute got together last night. The Warriors using a 19-point fourth quarter to defeat the Dragons by a final score of 26-13. Head coach Derwin Wright and members of the Dragons with us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. Coach, I guess as you kind of size up how this game played out last night for your team, missed opportunities may be the best phrase to use?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. We had, you know, I think on Sparta's first possession, they threw a little bubble out, and we ended up picking up a fumble, getting down to about the 4-yard line and just couldn't punch it in. And, you know, we had some missed opportunities.
And kind of started that as a kind of a continuing storyline all night.
Well, we got up 13-7 and came back through a wheel route for a touchdown, but had a holding call. And, you know, just had missed opportunities. But I was proud of our kids. They played really hard. You know, we've been struggling a little bit. But the attitude's been great, and they just keep playing hard.
Why the struggles in your mind? Been able
well,
to
pinpoint we've, it? We've had our leading rusher from last year out, and a young man that started as starting quarterback's got a hairline fracture collarbone. But, you know, one of the kids with me today, Jonah Durham, he stepped up quarterback, and he had a great night last night.
It's difficult when injuries throw you those kind of wrenches in the plan, so to speak.
Well, it is, and, you know, that's part of the game of football. You have those. You hope to not, but you got to have those other guys ready, and we just, you know, got to do the best you can do.
When you think back to why you got into this, why'd you want to be a coach?
Well, a coach has more impact on kids' life than anybody, more than any classroom teacher. You know, you build a relationship out there, and to me, it was the fact that coaches influenced my life and made an impact on me, and I wanted to pay that forward, I guess, is the way I'd look at it. And, you know, I enjoy the game, and, you know, I still think football's a lot like life. If you get knocked down, you know, you can lay there or you can get up. So we try to teach kids to fight through adversity, and, you know, that's what life's going to throw at you.
Who were some of those coaches that made a difference for you?
Walter Tipton, Jerry Seymour. I had a elementary coach who was a volunteer. I remember the guy coming in every day after work, worked for the phone company, and changed his old muddy boots and pants and practice. And that guy was Harrisy Cravens, one of the best coaches that I ever had. And, you know, those guys just they did it for the love of the game and love of kids.
You have to do that, don't you?
Sure. I mean, to me, that's why any coach is coaching, and you know, and it's a competition. It's the closest thing to being on that field playing. You know, there's always, whether it's high school level, college level, that pregame jitters and those things, you know, it's just something you gets in your blood, I guess.
Is the adrenaline the same as when you were playing?
No. It's a totally different thing. It's more of a, you know, the chess game and just coaching and trying to motivate your kids and give them the best chance to win. That's it's more of the getting prepared for the game and that type of thing. But, you know, you always enjoy seeing those kids and seeing that adrenaline with them.
Does it hurt as much the losses, coach versus being a player?
I think it hurts worse as a coach, to be honest with you, because, you know, you feel more responsibility as a player. You play your position, and, you know, sometimes you might have a great night and the team don't win, and, you know, you're disappointed. But as a coach, especially as head coach, when you're winning, it's typically not just you, it's everybody else. And when you're losing, according to everybody else, it's you. So that's part of it.
Derwin Wright is with us talking some York Institute football, and members of the Dragons are here. We'll visit with them as we continue on. I'm curious, your football philosophy, was that born from those coaches that coached you, or has it evolved over time?
I guess it's evolved over time. I was a guy that played 4 years of high school and never missed a game, and in college, I missed one game. I played with cracked ribs, broke ribs. I just had that mentality, and it was just the way we were. I mean, at the time when I was playing for those guys in high school, we had about 28 guys on the team, and, you know, you just didn't get injured. But I don't know. It's I got into the double wing and the wing tee when I was at Clarksville Academy. We ran it, and I like the offense, and I've stuck with it, but I've run other stuff. You got to, you know, as a coach, you learn real quick. You can't always run the offense you want. You got to match it to the kids you've got.
Is that one of the biggest mistakes that coaches make? Is you hear system. This is my system. But in high school football, you can't recruit the players to your system.
Well, to an extent, you know, but in your system, with the wing tee system, I feel like, you know, you can highlight your fullback, your quarterback, your wing back, you know, there's different, but it's the same way in the spread offense. You know, you can get in spread offense and throw it, or you can get in spread offense and run the ball a lot, you know, and we see teams all over that they're having success with that. So some of it's what you're good at, what you're good at coaching and that you feel good about, and some of it's what your kids are good at, you know, so I think it's a balance.
Is it interesting to you to see how the spread offense principles are now all over college football and even in the NFL, some of those principles?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, when you get down to it, teams are going to run, you know, they're going to run off tackle, they're going to run traps, they're going to run counters, they're going to run sweeps, you know, misdirection. You know, every offense has that in their system, but, you know, what it comes down to, Steve, is teams that, you know, just like Upperman, they're doing a great job. Their offense and defensive line are well coached, well fundamental, and they're going to get after your butt. And, you know, that gives them that success. And they got guys that are hitting holes and running. And, you know, any successful football team is going to be strong up front, both sides of the ball. And it still comes down to it. You know, when you're running a lead ISO, you got a guard and tackles that are moving people, and somebody leading on that linebacker that's going in there to make a block. So, you know, I guess the wing tee, you get a little bit of smoke and mirror, but you got that in the spread offense too.
Derwin Wright is with us at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. We're talking some York Dragons football. We'll meet members of the Dragons when we come back. Rock 93.7, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. We are live at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's what we do every Saturday morning, talking high school football with the players and coaches. Glad to have the York Dragons with us this Saturday morning, led by their head coach and several members of the team. October's here, and you got to start playing your best football. Kind of where do you feel like you are as October arrives?
Well, also, I think we're a little bit behind where we want to be, but we're catching up. I just think the injuries have caused some changes and things like that. But defensively last night, I was very proud of our defense. You know, when you look at the score, you think, well, Coach, why are you proud of your defense? They gave up one touchdown. The other two came off the offense. We had a fumble. And then at the end with 2.6 seconds, 2.8 seconds, something like that, we're just trying to take a shot up top, and they made interception and was able to run it back. But, you know, defensively last night, they played great. Offensively, we just missed some opportunities.
Who'd you bring along today?
I brought Jonah Durham. Jonah's our quarterback. And plays defensive back, force cornerback. He's a junior. Edward Stockton, who is a senior offense and defensive lineman for us. We play him at DN and on three technique. And then Ben Cooper, who's a fullback linebacker for us, and Ben's a junior.
So let's start with Edward, because we were just talking about the fact that football, for all of the excitement of the big passing plays and all of that sort of thing, that it's still won at the line of scrimmage. Coach, do you feel that way?
Yes, sir. I mean,
you're good.
All right. I mean, quarterback, he can't do nothing if we ain't got a block for him. I mean, he put the ball in the right place last night. We had two missed tackles. No.
Is it just, do you like that sense of toughness? I mean, is that what it takes to play in the trenches, as they call it?
Yes, sir. I mean, you got to be big and nasty to play down there in the trenches.
Jonah, what do you think? How tough are they? Big, tough in front of you? You feel protected?
Yes, sir. They block really good and they play hard, and I appreciate it.
How did you feel like you did last night?
I feel like I could have played a better game. There's a couple passes I could have made.
Is that, for a quarterback, is that pretty typical that you feel like, gosh, I wish I had that pass back, or that one I should have went somewhere else? Is that pretty typical for every game that you feel that way?
Yes, sir. After we watch film, there's always a couple plays I feel like I could have done better on.
Ben, for you, how difficult is it for this team to kind of have its identity with the injuries that you're dealing with?
The injuries come and go. It takes time to recover from everything. We need Thomas bad, and we're hoping he's coming back next week because he has a lot of speed.
Is it good, though, for other guys to get their chance to show what they can do?
Having depth is a good thing, and we have some guys that can fill, like Stover filled Thomas's position last night. Depth, we have quite a bit of it, and we have quite a bit of guys that can fill places. So I think in that way we're a decent team.
Edward, they talk about October, and that October is when you kind of make your imprint as you start working toward the playoffs. You feel like this team can do that and can come together?
Most definitely. We just got to come together and fix all the small things that we're messing up on. I mean, we got Cannon County and Sequatchie County. I feel like if we come together, then we can most definitely make it to the playoffs.
Is it just those little small things that you feel like are kind of nagging this football team?
Yes, sir. I mean, all together we do very good, and then it's just the small things that come together at the end and bite us in the hind end.
I want to talk to Jonah about something that a lot of fans may not be familiar with. There are some schools that do not play football in the Upper Cumberland. One of those is Clark Range. Jonah, you're part of that. You go to Clark Range, but you play for York Institute. Is that interesting at all? Are your allegiances pulled in any direction? How does that work for you?
Nah, I'm pretty well balanced. I mean, some of my best friends are York, and I mean, I love these guys. I played football with us since I was 6 years old, and I wouldn't change that.
Coach, it's good that that is allowed to happen, and that it happens, for example, at Van Buren County High School, where kids get to play for White County.
Well, it really brought our two communities together, and the fact that that we can co-op. I wish we had more kids co-oping from Clark Range. Jonah is one of two guys. Jonah and Miller is the only two guys that we've got are co-oping. But it is a great opportunity, and I'm glad we're able to do it. You know, your question on Edward. I felt like I'm going to start a new stat due to what happened this season. It'll be plays that have been missed, big opportunities missed, BOM stat, big opportunities missed, because we've had them this season. And I just tell our kids, you know, if we just keep doing those things, those opportunities are going to come. You know, last night we had a touchdown call back on a hold. And, you know, it happens to every team. You just got to overcome it. But, you know, once we get those things, I feel like in October, if we do and take care of the little things, because I feel like, you know, we played some good football teams, but we've also done some things to beat ourselves that we've seen on film, and that I saw a big improvement last night from our football team. Again, we still had some mistakes that cost us, but we're getting better.
All right, Jonah, so who is a quarterback that you look up to? Who's somebody that you enjoy watching, college, pro?
Probably my favorite quarterback would be Peyton Manning.
And why is that?
I think he just – I've never seen anybody pick apart a defense like he does. I think he's really smart up top.
Edward, how about you? Is there anybody that you enjoy watching, anybody that you try to pattern yourself after, tough, mean, goes after them?
Well, probably one of the most fastest and meanest DNs I've ever watched is probably J.J. Watt. He's just down and dirty in the trenches.
Tough guy, isn't he? All right, Ben, so if you were the coach, what are you saying to this football team at your first meeting next week?
We had some tiny mistakes, but to improve on everything, you got to have a good practice through the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You got to get better. And through the week, we need to get better.
That's a pretty good message. Now, would he say it in the same tone that you just said it, or?
No, Coach Wright would actually mean it when I said it.
You have any answer to that question?
I think you nailed it. It's what I told him. You know, you win football games on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You know, with your preparation and getting ready. But what I want to ask these guys to do is, you know, with technology of huddle, they've got to do more film study on their own too. You know, you get a great opportunity there. And there's very few players that are those players, but he's talking about Peyton Manning. One of the things that made Peyton Manning so great is the study of film that he did on the people that he was playing against. And when he went on that field, if a defender moved a certain way, he knew why they were doing it. And you know, film study is something that I don't think any player does enough of. If they did as much as a head coach did, it'd be different. But I just keep telling our guys, make sure you're, you know, spend 30 minutes a night, you know, but also do that after homework.
You know, it's interesting because I spent a lot of years experiencing Peyton Manning beating the Titans. And the thing that always stood out to me about Peyton was that at 8:30 every Sunday, he came out on the field and he went through his passing tree. And he would do that for an hour and 15 minutes. And that was the first year the Titans played him. And it was the last year the Titans played him. And that's what you're talking about, just that consistency. And, you know, does Peyton Manning need to do a passing tree in year 10 of his career? Probably not, but that's just who he is. And that's what it takes.
Yeah, when you're at the top and you want to stay on top, you keep your game sharp. And that's that extra work, you know. And I tell our guys, you can't just do what the coach expects you to do. You've got to spend those times on film. You got to spend that time in the weight room extra. You've got to take care of yourself. And, you know, as a college player, when I played college ball, you know, when I left that practice field, I always went somewhere and hit a weight room, you know, at least Monday and Wednesday, and no coach had to tell me to do that. But, you know, the great ones, Jerry Rice, you know, those guys, the training and stuff that he did, you don't get to that level because you've not worked.
That's right. Derwin Wright, head coach of the York Institute Dragons, along with Jonah Durham, Ben Cooper, Edward Stockton. Thank you guys for coming down and being with us at Chick-fil-A.
Thank you so much for having us.
The High School Playbook presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Here's last night's scoreboard from UCSportsNation.com. White County defeats York Institute 26-13. Upperman 25, Oneida 6. Kingston Downstone Memorial 33-14. Sale Creek beats Pickett County 47-8. Monterey wins over Jackson County 42-18. Cab County wins over Cannon County 41-10. Walker Valley defeats Cumberland County 33-16. Cookeville takes out Coffee County 41-14. Westmoreland defeats Clay County 21-12. Livingston Academy beats Smith County 38-13. And head coach Bruce Lamb joins us now. Coach, you get the win. How did your football team play last night?
Well, we came out playing pretty well. And we came out. Got bombed first. Had a couple mistakes, which we overcame those. We were right down and scored. And, I think we was up 31-0, I believe, at halftime. Or 31-7, I'm sorry. At halftime, and I think we had only given up 21 yards. Our defense was playing super, and our offense was clicking. So we played well. Played well yesterday, last night.
And you did that at one of the tougher places to play in our area.
It is very tough. It's very unusual place to play because you got to walk a long ways down the hill, and it's hard to get back up there. At halftime, and it's, as we call it, the hole. You know, it's down there, and it's not a lot of wind, and it's a tough place to play.
Who performed well for you defensively last night, and especially what you were able to do in the first half?
Well, you know, it wasn't just the individual; it was more of a team. Our kids were just controlling the line of scrimmage. The four defensive linemen, Dexter Wright and Cole Spears, Austin Reeder, and Carson Smith, were doing a great job controlling the line of scrimmage. And, Dusty Parrish, Nate Carlisle, those guys, my linebackers, Thomas Pennycuff, Xander Cantrell, did a super job last night.
You know, football right now is in this, and I'm talking about from the pros to the high school level, it's all about passing numbers. But you can't have passing number success if you're not still winning that battle at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, you can't do anything without those guys. If you have any kind of success on the offensive side or the defensive side, you've got to have great guys up front. And we're very blessed with that. We got some young men who really – really do their job and do a great job at it. They work hard. Their effort's awesome, and they're such good leaders for this team.
A couple of guys last night coming up big, as they have throughout the season, in terms of receptions. Aubrey Hollers over 100, and Wesley Smith just right at 100.
Yes, sir. Two seniors again. Those guys are really picking their game up. Wesley, Wesley's Wesley. Wesley's always going to have that. Aubrey, sometimes he's the second receiver, and he does it. But, he's really a number one receiver. He's had such a great year. I mean, they're neck and neck on receptions this year. And I think Wesley has him a little bit on yardage. But, just two great kids and just doing a great job. And Wesley broke a record last night. He's now the all-time yardage leader in receptions for our school. Just shows their dedication and what they've done for this program is just amazing.
You're rewriting the record book this year.
Well, I'm not rewriting it. These kids are. I'm telling you. I mean, when you got kids who are dedicated like they are, it's such a pleasure. You're so lucky to have these kids and see them and get to watch them do what they do.
Livingston coach Bruce Lamb is with us as the Wildcats improved to 6-0, beating Smith County Friday night. Caleb Robinson doing nice things for you on the ground game.
Caleb Robinson played exceptional last night. Nate Neely, he's usually our starter, and Nate on the opening kickoff had a great return and got an ankle sprain and came out, and Caleb just popped right in there, and I think he ended up with 137 yards or somewhere right around there. Two touchdowns, and he gives a little dimension there where he makes people miss. He's really good at juking people and finding the hole, and we're very lucky to have him also. And for a kid who comes in as your backup, that's pretty good.
It's great because from this point forward, knock on wood, but people are getting banged up. That's what happens in late September and October, and you got to have those guys that are behind them, the number twos, have got to be ready to step up and play.
Absolutely, and we had some step up last night and played well because, as you say, you know, the wear and tear of the season is starting to hit right now. You know, we're six games in and seven count the jamboree, and you know, you get the bruises and bumps and that kind of stuff, and the ankles, and you know, I had Ethan Romantic step in last night, play some guard for us. I had Thomas Pennycuff that had to come in and play some middle linebacker, Xander Cantrell, the outside linebacker, and you know, then Caleb Robinson come in. So, you know, you got four kids come in that don't play, you know, regularly every night, and they come in and did a great job for us. So, you know, hopefully that'll help us in the long run.
Coach, do you worry at all about dealing with success, or are these guys pretty grounded?
Oh, they're very grounded, very grounded. And, you know, we don't have to preach to them at all about, you know, stay focused and, you know, you get the rankings and, you know, and of course, you know, they're excited about that, which they should be. You know, they play well enough to be ranked in the top 10 in the state. But, you know, we talk to them and they understand, what does that really mean? You know, the season's not over. You've got a long way to go to get the season over with and where you're ranked at the end of the season, where it's at. But, you know, it's a mature bunch, very mature. And, you know, I can't say enough about what kind of kids that we have up here. And it's just exciting to be around these guys.
The rankings are fun, but it's who's standing at center field at Tucker Stadium.
Amen. And you know, we have a scrimmage. Our first scrimmage of the year is in August. Is the 1st of August is always at Tennessee Tech, and we have a big scrimmage there with four or five teams. And we always tell our kids, you know, we're starting here, and this is where we want to finish at. And, you know, that's this kid's goal. And they're not looking down the road. You know, they enjoyed the win from last night because it is a big one. Going to Smith County and winning down there the way they did is very impressive. But I guarantee you, they already got film on DeKalb County and they're watching right now.
It's Livingston Academy 38, Smith County 13. Bruce Lamb, head coach of the Wildcats. Thanks for the time, Coach.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Tough night for Pickett County last night. They fall to Sail Creek by a 47-8 final. Head coach Ray Reagan joins us live from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. Coach, what did you see from your football team last night?
I've seen a lot of young and inexperienced players that, you know, got caught up into a lot of misdirection and couldn't follow the ball. And it's just... they're just young and inexperienced, got a lot of work to do.
I guess in some ways that's hard as a coach to watch and see that there's not a lot that you can do because they've just got to learn, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, in here, you know, we don't have junior high. Some of these kids, it's the first time they've ever played football, and it gets frustrating, but, you know, it's a good group of kids. You know, as eventually it'll come to them, but when you sit there and watch it, and you know exactly what's going to happen. You told them what's going to happen, but they still don't see it. It can get frustrating.
Bright spot, I guess, continues to be the play of Mark Smith.
Mark Smith, Luke Smith played real well. They didn't give him a whole lot of time. He got beat up pretty good back there, but. He played extremely well, and, you know, them two right there, Mark and Luke, immersed themselves as being leaders, and they do an excellent job.
How do you fight through in this situation? What are you trying to tell your young guys?
You just got to tell them that, everything that you do in practice, you know, there's a reason for it because you're going to see this stuff on Friday night, and, you know, how you going to practice during the week, how you're going to play on Friday night. And you just got to keep preaching that eventually that it all gets better. But it's hard, you know, because losing can become a habit. I mean, it can every time you lose, it gets easier and easier and easier for them because it don't hurt as bad. So need to stop that. Need to get them back on another track.
What did you say after
Pickett
the
County
game
coach Ray Reagan with us as Pickett County falls last night to Sale Creek. Last stop on this edition of the High School Playbook is Smithville, where DeKalb County beats Cannon County 41-10 Friday night. Head coach Steve Trapp, one of your most complete games this season?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, our offense executed pretty well. I mean, to be able to score points like that, there wasn't any turnovers in the game, so just a lot of execution. And a lot of that was based off because what our defense was doing. You know, they are that wing team, you know, they want to control the clock and get as many plays as they can, but our defense was up to the challenge last night, and a lot of three and outs, so we were getting the ball back, but a lot of opportunities, and we took advantage of them.
That's what's really interesting, because you put up 27 points in the first half and do that against a team that is trying to control the football, so your defense had to play outstanding.
They played extremely well, and you know, we took it back a year. You know, playing those guys last year, they had 88 offensive plays against us, and we only had 24. So that's just something that we really talked about all week. You know, understanding what type of philosophy they had as far as controlling the clock and keeping our offense off the field, and what we needed to do in order for that not to be the case this year. So our kids bought into that mindset, and they did a great job.
Who were some of the stars defensively?
Dylan Benson, you know, had nose guard. He was in their backfield all night long. And when you can control the inside run game on that wing tee the way he did almost as an individual, it really allows your outside guys to do their job stopping the stuff that comes off tackle. So, but, you know, it starts with there. And, you know, then our linebackers were feeling very well. Brandon Sykes and Aiden Curtis and Antoine McCoy, they were feeling their depth very well, doing a great job. And then Isaac Cross and Evan Jones on the end of that defensive line, they were doing a great job for us as well.
How important is it, Coach, when you preach something all week and you talk about it and the plan of here's what we're going to do, and then the guys go out, they execute, and you have success? Is that part of growing as a unit?
It definitely is, and you know, that's the joy of it for me. You know, as a head coach, and I tell these guys that, you know, the victory is great, and that's what we ultimately all want. But just seeing a group of young men go out and buy into something that you've been teaching and preaching them, and see them do it in a great way, it's such a joyful event. You know, but I mean, we've had a few conversations, Larry, where I talked about my team, and we was wondering about what they were thinking, and you know, where they listen to us and things like that. But as far as this week goes, and it's a week-by-week thing, but as far as this week goes, I'm just really proud of my guys, and they did a great job for us.
DeKalb County coach Steve Trapp with us as DeKalb County gets the win over Cannon County 41-10 Friday night. You get on the board quickly as Colby Barnes gets in the end zone. Walk us through his score.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kobe's a guy that we just got back last week. You know, he's a freshman. You know, had a really good middle school career. Knew he was going to be a good guy for us up here. And, you know, our running back situation up until last week was all injured. And everybody, you know, so we've been kind of making our hay in that regard. But he come out against Grundy County last week with three touchdowns in his debut. And he wasn't the starter, you know, so this week he was. And he gets us on the board early there out of the gate.
And then Axel Aldino comes in, runs one in, throws one in right before the halftime break. How's he playing at this point?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he had a good game for us. I mean, there were some calls in there. He was changing plays. I know that was and this is a great sign for me. I mean, you got a quarterback in high school to have a passing play called, and he checks to a run play, and it's a run play that's not to him. and it ends up going for a touchdown. And, I mean, I just think that's a very mature thing to do. I mean, being a teenager would be very easy to try to put it for yourself. But, you know, I'm just really proud of him and his game all night, you know, last night. Like I said, he was hitting multiple receivers. His dual threat ability was there, you know, so he had some good runs for us, definitely some good passes. We dropped a few balls that would have been some highlight plays. You know, but that is what it is. But it's not just him. It's everybody around him. That's also, you know, getting a little better, you know, going through those learning curves in the beginning. But he definitely did have a good game last night.
Are you seeing your offensive line develop the way you want?
Well, offensive line, that's one thing that's kind of been a staple, you know, all year. You know, last year we only had two games back-to-back where we had the same five. And I'm knocking on wood right now, hoping I don't jinx myself, but we've had the same five every game this year. And, you know, there's a sophomore in there, there's a freshman in there, a couple of juniors, and only one senior. So we've kind of been leaning on those guys a little bit, like I said, with the injury situation in the backfield and things like that. So I'm just proud of that group. And but they have had to gel and come together, and I think they're doing that each and every week.
I don't guess they're really.
Steve Trapp is head coach of DeKalb County as they get the win last night over Cannon County. A big win for that team as they move into October. Can you believe it? Yep. High school season moves into October. Here's the way the schedule looks a week from last night. Clay County and Pickett County will face off in a rivalry game. Cookeville takes on Warren County next week. DeKalb County is at Livingston Academy. Jackson County hosts Cascade Friday night. Monterey takes on Joe Burns at home. Red Boiling Springs will battle Gordonsville. Smith County and Sequatchie County face off. Stone Memorial hits the road for Macon County. Upperman is at York Institute next week. We'll be here next Saturday morning to talk about all the games and your favorite team. Hope you'll be with us. You can also follow all the action all week long at ucsportsnation.com.
The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders.